okay if I like put it here? Can you still hear me? Or is it, no, not at all. Okay. I just have like really shaky hands, so I'm hoping that you could hold that well. That'd be great. Can you? Okay.
So do it if you want.
No, okay. No, of course not. I'm really happy to be speaking tonight. I'm kind of intimidated, just given that like you guys are my people. It's like feels really close to home and feels really nice. But also I'm like, oh shit, like I haven't like, you know, I don't know, oh shit, like I know all you guys, you know, you aren't strangers. Or I know most of you. So anyway, I'm really happy to be speaking. So yeah, my sobriety date is October 28th, 2017. So I have a little over 3 months. I have a sponsor, a kick-ass sponsor who has a sponsor who's also wonderful. And yeah, this is like my third or fourth time, in the program. But somehow this feels like really different. And so hopefully something that I say about how I've stayed sober 90 days, which is the first time that's happened in years, is helpful to somebody. I guess I'll just start by saying what kind of, to qualify myself, what kind of drunk I was. I was the kind of drunk that fell down like a lot. Like I literally wore like Tevas to bars because I knew that I would eat shit. I was like the sleep with my best friend kind of drunk. I was like sleep with your boyfriend kind of drunk, like snort anything you put under my nose and kiss whoever like is near me, just like anything, make people like mad uncomfortable, So I just like was not with it at all when I drank. But most importantly, like I was the kind of drunk who like couldn't stop when I started, didn't know how much I was going to consume, and I couldn't put it down. Like there was no amount of embarrassment that could make me put that down. Or I remember I used to get ready with my friend to go out and we'd like play the same music like every time. It was like a ritual. That was before I started going out alone. And I would be like, oh fuck, like I don't like this about the way I look and like that about, and she's like, honey, after two drinks, like you're not gonna give a fuck. And I was like, you're right, like honest to God, like that's how I approached it. Is I was like, no amount of embarrassment, no amount of shame would make me put the drink down. So yeah, I had that obsession. Like I had it. Throughout my drinking career and before that, like, I experienced, sexual assault, abuse, all kinds of just like wacky fucking shit. I have two alcoholic parents, and I say that because like none of that made me alcoholic. Like my parents, maybe there's probably a genetic component, but dealing with, the environment that I grew up in did not make me alcoholic. Like any kind of trauma in my life has not made me alcoholic. It's just the disease that I have. And I see it kind of as simply as that. And it's honestly relieving to say that because then I'm not like, oh, well, what could I have, I could have stopped this if I hadn't like opened the fucking door. It's like you opened, So anyway, I guess I'll just start with some context. So I grew up with two alcoholic parents. One was sober, like 20 some odd years, and one was an active drinker. And we grew up in the suburbs, like Westchester, so not the city. But I grew up like right outside of the city in Westchester. And I lived there till I was about 14. And up until then, I had kind of, when I was a kid, I knew I was like weird, Like I just knew, like I unicycled and like I slept with a hat on and like I just did weird, I did like weird things, I was just fucking weird. But I also like always had friends, So it's not like I was like, I had friends. But anyway, the first time I remember feeling kind of different, like going beyond, like, I was like these flashes of memories. My mom like sends me like photos from when I was little, and like these bring back all these memories. Like, oh god, like play with like my like my dead grandpa's dentures. Like, I don't fucking know. I was just weird. Okay, but the first time I felt different was like. I grew up with some learning disabilities, so I was taken into the other room to take tests, and I remember being like, okay, so like I'm stupid, you know, and you know I remember thinking like I'm dumb. I remember my friend being like, there's a C after the S in science, like during like a spelling test, and I was like, okay, you know, like I was just so mortified, and you know, so it was really hard. I also had a really smart brother who like was good at math and shit, and I was just like the creative one, you know, like I like had like a little art section in my house. Like I was just, you know, I was cute, but I didn't think that I was smart. So the other, you know, moment when I started to see that or feel that I was a little different was that my parents got divorced, and all my other friends had like very intact families, and I had like this goofball dad who was like so weird, like weirder than I was, like way weirder than I was. Like those stories don't like hold anything to this man. And my mom, you know, is she's her own challenge, you know, and she has her own challenges and issues. So I grew up with these two parents that just were, you know, a little wacky. And they got a divorce, and it was really intense. There was a lot of fighting, and I remember, like, kids didn't want to, like, play at my house. You know, they were like, let's go to Jolie's house, because, like, nobody wanted to go to, like, Daisy's, like, crazy, like, house, you know? It was crazy town. And, you know, but I, you know, went to therapy, which I was, like, subsequently, like, taken out of, because I, like, wouldn't tell my mom what we talked about, and she's like, oh, no. So she's like, that's not the point of therapy. So I was taken out of therapy, and I grew up like kind of normal, you know, like, I mean, I had, you know, I was friends with like the cool girls and like, you know, did all that stuff. And then when I hit seventh grade, I was bullied for the first time. I mean, I was like bullied by my girlfriends, but I'd never been bullied by any. I know that sounds like so weird and like backwards. Like I was bullied by my best friends, but the first time that I was bullied by, you know, a group of assholes was there were these anti-Semitic kids in my school, and they were like the cool guys who like thought it was funny to like make fun of like us Jewish kids, or like me specifically. Like all my other friends like weren't like Jewish enough or something, but like I was like the Jewiest one there, so they like made fun of me. Honest to God, they made fun of me, and it was really upsetting. And I band together with like the other kids that were getting bullied, and I stood up to them. We like went to the principal's office, and like, let me also preface this with like, I was the type of kid that like, if you told me to jump off the bridge, like I would jump. If you told me to like that like Vans weren't cool, like I would get your Reeboks. Like I was very, like I wanted to be liked so badly my whole life. Like I just gave a shit so much about what I looked like, about, you know, so of course when I get bullied and all my girlfriends are like, well, you can't hang out with us unless you apologize to the boys. I was like, what the f-? I was like, absolutely not. And I like, you know, for the first time, like stood on my own 2 feet, and I switched to Catholic school, ironically, which if any of you have been to Catholic school, God, it was for me like the pits of hell. Like it was just so shitty. So I get there and I think like, okay, I want to make friends with the coolest girls here because I don't want to be like the loser who like ratted on everyone in public school. And so I found the girls that like all looked the same, and they had the same shoes, the same backpack, the same hair, same tan, same nails, same skirt length. Like it was just like all what, like I wanted to like dive the fuck in, and I did, you know, like I just jumped right in. Got rid of my shoes, got rid of my like L.O. Bean backpack with like a gecko on it and shit. Like, I just like got rid of everything and like dyed my hair blonde. Like I was just like about it. And I was also really scared of them like hating me for some reason. I like had this belief that like everybody somehow was going to like find out the truth about me and like hate me. So within like the first week of school, I was like, I'm gonna show them like the boys. And like I started going. I went to my, this is when I had my first drink. I went to this guy's house and we were playing beer pong. And I remember like the cups weren't filled very high. They were like half full. And like, I hadn't even had a drink yet. And I was like, what the hell? Like, I was so pissed. I was like, what's the point? And I like kept on wanting to lose because I was like, I want to get drunk. I want to get drunk. Like, I was just like a animal the second it was like in my presence. I don't know why. It just like, I had that obsession before I even sipped the drink. And of course, like, I knock it back, like I knock back a couple, and I'm like, you know, I don't really feel like tipsy or anything, but I like, of course, like, you know, everyone's like disperses and goes home and, you know, like, you know, goes back to their like, you know, houses. And I go and I tell all my girlfriends that I like drank and felt tipsy, and like I was like the new cool like fucking girl at Catholic school that was Jewish. So I like, so I decided to like start bringing them to these guys' houses that were like from my public school, and ones that I had now like rekindled my relationship with, because like I was over your I'm over your anti-Semitism. Like, you know, we're all in this together. Like, I don't know. So I was just, like I said, if people told me, you know, like, do this, I did it. And so my girlfriend said, like, if you want to be, like, back in the group, like, you can be nice to the guys again. And I was like, okay. So so I started going to these guys' houses, bringing my Catholic school friends. And the second time I ever drank, I remember drinking, like, 3 Bud Lights, then, like, drinking, like, a lot of some hard liquor, I don't remember. And I remember waking, like, coming to on like the laps of a bunch of guys with their hands down my pants, and I was like, what the fuck? But I was also like, this can work. Like, I got home, I threw up everywhere, of course. I like, you know, woke up in my own vomit, and my mom was like, you're grounded for a month. And I'm like, I'm never drinking again. Meanwhile, like, I was like already like plotting, you know. And so when the month was over, I was like, this can work. Like, guys deemed me desirable. Like, that was what drinking did. Like, now I can be like the fun, not loser, sexy Daisy that like I'm supposed to be. And, you know, like, sex is a huge part of my story. And I think, yeah, I mean, it just really like from an early age just like drove me. Like, that's what I wanted, was to be desired really badly. And so I keep on going through like my 8th grade year. You know, I was drinking every weekend now, and I'm lying to my parents, lying to my friends. I would go to teen dance clubs and like drink like, you know, 4 Loko and like dance on in there, you know, and like make out with like 13 guys or something crazy like that. And like, surprised nothing bad happened. You know what I mean? I was just like, freedom. So, you know, then I am, is that how much time I have left?
That plus 5 minutes.
Okay, cool. So I'm gonna speed it the fuck up. Okay, so anywho, I go throughout, I end up after a year of hurting myself, drinking, getting hospitalized 6 times, I end up going to a wilderness therapy program, 2 rehabs and a hospital in a year. I'm just speeding up a tiny bit because that's like kind of we've all been to rehab, maybe. I don't know, most of us have probably been to rehab. So I went to rehab and came back, and I was homeschooled, and my mom essentially just like sat on me and didn't let me do, like, she didn't let me out of her sight. Like, I had like phone calls, but, like, I was only allowed to like have my phone at certain hours, and I was only allowed to like leave her sight for a couple of hours, and then like I had to call her, and like, I was like, I'm never drinking again, so like, don't worry, blah, blah, blah. I was also, in the midst of this, figuring out my sexuality, which was very confusing at the time, because I'd been struggling with my identity for such a long time. That was a huge part of my drinking, is that I would get blackout, try and make out with like my best friends, and then all of a sudden word came out that I was bi, and then it was like Daisy's the token gay girl, and like guys wanted to have threesomes, and I would just get blackout and be like, well, I don't know what this means. And so, you know, and they were all like old, like fucking 18-year-olds, and I was 14, and it's like, honey, like, not cute on you, you fucker. So, you know, so then I get home, I'm homeschooled, yada, yada, yada. and I'm struggling with my sexuality. I get an eating disorder, of course, because, like, if it's not alcohol, it's something. That's the disease. Like, if it's not alcohol, it was an eating disorder. If it wasn't that, it was cutting. And then I start dating a girl for the first time that I was, like, a serial Tinder dater. I was, like, I called myself Queen of Tinder because I would, like, go on a million dates and just, like, I'd be, like, I love dating. I don't know why anybody doesn't love dating. And, like, I was just so into it. And so I dated this girl who was wonderful. She's a true gem. I just love her so deeply. And she's no longer my girlfriend. I just love her deeply. Anyway, so she was 24, I was 17, and she brought me to Brooklyn for, like, the first time ever. Like, I moved to the city when I was 15. I, like, had never been to Brooklyn. And so I was, like, an Upper West Side boo. And I go to Brooklyn to hang out with, like, her and her artist friends, and, like, they're all hippies, and they live on, like, this commune in Williamsburg, and, like, I was, like, so fucking into it because all we did was smoke weed, drink, watch Broad City, go to Kabbalah classes, and, like, eat, like, peace food. Like, honest to God, that's, like, what happened. And this persisted, like, every day for 30 days, our 30-day-long wonderful relationship. And little does she know. It clicked. It was, like, the past, like, 2 years that I hadn't been drinking since I got sent away. I was, like, right, like, oh, okay. Feeling weird in my skin, gone. Feeling like I wanna, like, kill everybody in my sight. Like, cause I was just angry. I was angry at my mom. I was angry at my dad. Like, I was angry at fucking everybody. I was angry at, like, my rehab, even though, like, they didn't do anything that, I mean, some of the places were very awful and seriously strange, but some of them weren't that bad, and I was angry at everybody. And when I drank, I was, like, I was chill. I was, like, smooth fucking sailing, and, like, you know, any insecurities I had about being gay or being the youngest one, like, I all of a sudden felt like I was with it. I was, like, I'm good. I'm Daisy when I'm drinking. And whoever this, like, dweeb has been for the past, this, like, homeschool dweeb for the past 2 years, like, sucks, and I want nothing to do with her. And so then I decided one day, I walked into my mom's house, I gave her my key, and I said, like, I'm moving out. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah. And I take a couple suitcases and I move to the commune. And it's like, okay, it's like a commune-ish thing. It's just easier to call it the commune. But it's there's a leader, and it's oh God. And they have, like, all kinds of weird, like, full moon parties. Like, I walked into a lot of orgies, I'll say that. It was crazy. Sorry, that's probably really inappropriate to say on here. Anyway, so I was living on the commune, and all of a sudden I was introduced to, I was drinking every day, smoking every day, and feeling really fucking depressed. Like, I was, like, around, like, five roommates that would, like, run around my apartment, like, naked, and I thought that I'd, like, arrive for, like, 2 minutes, and all of a sudden I'm like, where the fuck am I? Like, and so I would just, like, smoke with, like, one of my roommates and, like, literally eat the entire house and, like, you know, would hang out with this, like, guy who, like, worked at Facebook, and we would just, like, awesome. And so anyway, I was introduced to blow, which became my, you know, I felt that was, like, I loved alcohol, it was my thing, and then I met blow, and I was like, shit, you know, like, this is actually, because I always feel like I'm here, and when I did cocaine, I was, like, normal. I was like, okay, now I don't feel so depressed, I don't feel like I want to hurt myself or hurt somebody else, so I really thought that that was it. I end up, I come down from a Molly roll, and, you know, end up doing a bunch of cocaine, and I decide that this is serious. I overdose on purpose, and I moved back into my mom's house. She took me to AA, and I was, like, sitting in the back, and I was just, like, crying, and I was like, fuck you, everyone. I literally could not, like, I was so resentful. I hated AA. I hated everything it stood for. And I didn't even know what the fuck it stood for. I just, like, hated it. Hated that I was being dragged there. You know, I was like, screw you. So then I decide, I'm like, Mom, I'm good. I don't need AA because I'm not an alcoholic. I know I'm a cokehead, but I'm not an alcoholic. And she's like, okay, like, fine, you don't have to go to AA meetings, but, like, you're going to stay within 5 feet of me. Long story short, I end up moving to Greenpoint, Brooklyn after a month, moving with my two best friends, start drinking every day by myself, start doing blow every day, and am the most depressed I've ever been in my life. I, you know, ate through kitchens at a time, and then would do really, really sad, lonely things. I worked at a restaurant where I was working with some pretty abusive and a pretty abusive team, and just thought that was what I was worth. You know, I was like, yeah, I am garbage. I am trash. Like, you can treat me like trash because I know I'm trash. And, you know, I just fell into this really deep, deep depression, and that, like, emptiness, that, like, callousness, that fucking, it's the worst feeling. And I know that some of you or all of you know what the fuck I'm talking about. And I end up fleeing to Montana, apply to school, you know, on Adderall, and I end up getting in, and I get into college, and I'm like, what? That's confusing, because I was just in, like, my bottom, and I got into school, so that means that, like, it wasn't really a bottom, and I can do more and more and more and more. So I get home from Montana, and I decide, like, okay, I'm going to be clean off coke, but I'm going to drink. And for the next year, I decide that I came back into AA after getting into a fight on New Year's, of course, like, we all know the story, and I end up leaving because I fucking hated the meetings I was going to. I hated commitments. I didn't listen to my sponsor. I didn't call my sponsor. I didn't do shit. I just, like, hated it. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't want to be here because I said no to everything. She said, call me. I was like, She's like, show up to greet. I was like, too hard. Like, I literally was like, I was just like not, I just said no to everything, dude. And it was miserable. So I went back out. I tried moderating for a year, had a spreadsheet with me, called my therapist after each drink. And which is like, if that's not alcoholic, like, what the fuck is? You know what I mean? Like, who has to text their therapist and be like, I just had one drink, I swear. Like, heading home, Mom. Like, crazy town. Anyway, the past 90 days, or the point leading up to the 90 days, I'm bringing it all together now. 90 days ago, I was in a place of deep, deep, deep fucking sadness, because what's worse to me